But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the shooting at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania. Move on to the trailer park extravaganza that was the RNC in Milwaukee, and follow all of that up with a deep dive into the man who identifies as J.D. Vance. Let's begin, shall we? Some weeks are better than others, but this past week will go down as being the most insane and slightly disappointing, while oddly predictable, in history. For starters, Pennsylvania is known for being the place where you can visit the Declaration of Independence or grab a cheesesteak for lunch and maybe play a couple of banjos while hiking through the Appalachian Mountains. But after this week, Pennsylvania will be remembered as the place where the assassination of a convicted felon didn't happen. And for exposition purposes, here is the timeline of the unscheduled events.
6:04 Saturday evening, former President Donald Trump steps to the podium 7.5 minutes later.
Take a look at what happened.
Amid a series of sharp pops, Trump touches his ear and ducks. 3 seconds later, Secret Service agents are swarming in to shield him, and security snipers have opened fire on the would-be assassin. As chaos erupts among the attendees, one rally-goer sees another man has been killed despite the rescue efforts of bystanders. 30 seconds after the first shots ring out, the podium's microphone catches Secret Service agents coordinating Trump's evacuation from that stage.
Hold. When you're ready, on you.
Then, just over a minute after the violence started, the all clear. At 6:12 p.m., the agents rise with Trump and try to usher him rapidly away. But he says,
Let me get my shoes.
Shortly after, he's on his way to a safe vehicle. But he tells agents to pause again. He turns to the rattled crowd in what will become an historic photo.
Because when you've been shot at from a rooftop 150 yards away by a 20-year-old white dude who borrowed his father's AR-15-style rifle to assassinate you, the Secret Service lets you stop them from getting you to safety for a photo op. And for that matter, it's not whether or not it was actually a piece of glass that came from the teleprompter getting shot at, which grazed Genghis Khan's ear instead of the bullet he later claimed pierced his flesh. No, my friends. It's about looking cool. Because why else would anyone go through something like that, if not to be a badass that survived an assassination attempt? I mean, why else did the police ignore members of the crowd that alerted them to a skinny white kid with a gun that was scaling up a building and army-style crawling across a rooftop to get a clear shot? Or for that matter, why did a cop reportedly climb up onto the rooftop after the would-be shooter, only to crawl back down after having a gun pointed at his face? All good questions, I'm sure, we'll never get a satisfying answer to. Kinda like how the shooter does not seem like the kind of person who would do something like this in the first place.
The FBI identifying the alleged gunman as Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old, of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. But why he allegedly wanted to kill former President Trump, still unclear.
No apparent criminal history, no apparent history of civil lawsuits. For a 20-year-old, an incredible lack of social media presence. There's really nothing that sticks out when you look at him and look at his history and look at his background that would point you to this. He's wearing apparently a Demolition Ranch t-shirt, which is after a YouTube channel, which is very pro-Second Amendment. They fire all sorts of different types of rifles. He is a registered Republican, as you mentioned at the top of the show, and a small donation to a Democratic group. So nothing there points to somebody who would want to show up and try to kill Donald Trump.
And that's why this whole thing is so bizarre. As of the recording of this show, no one, including the FBI, can figure out why 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, did what he did, especially when he is known and was kicked out of a local club for being a bad shot. News interviews with neighbors and former classmates all say Can't Hit a Bullseye Tommy came from a clown Ligula loving family who had pro-convict for president signs on their front lawn up until about a week before the not assassination happened. And then there's this piece of cess.
But Channel 4 News can reveal that Thomas Crooks's father, the owner of the rifle that was used to shoot at Donald Trump, was held on a database and profiled by the former president's election campaign.
They profiled them using secret computer models to identify likely gun owners and enthusiasts, and Mr. Crooks scored very highly, 0.99 out of 1 for being a gun owner and 0.95 out of 1 for being a hunter. More than 19,000 people in Bethel Park who were profiled, Mr. Crooks was in the top 20, and the database classified him as a strong GOP or Republican voter.
The information was compiled as part of a secret Republican project to gather data on millions of gun owners across America and use it to target pro-gun messages.
And here's why they did it. The city of Pittsburgh is a key battleground in the critical swing state of Pennsylvania. So voters here are always heavily profiled and targeted by political parties.
And to quiet all of you in the back, yeah. Targeting potential voters is to be expected during an election campaign. But Fat Nixon's peeps had the shooter's father's profile saved on a database going all the way back to 2016 and labeled him very susceptible to Mambo Mussolini's incoherent yammering. And then the son of an 8-year propaganda campaign target goes out on a Saturday and decides to show everyone he really can hit a target, especially if that target is allegedly a teleprompter positioned to the right of pervert Hoover, who was allegedly nicked on the ear by a piece of glass, according to interviews with the hospital staff that attended to the former oath of office, because close enough. But what really bothers me about all of this is the immediate and obviously scripted response by the Reich Wing to it's not being referred to as a mass shooter in Bethel Park because that would diminish One Ear Connie's capitalization on all of this fanfare. Roll tape.
I wish I could say I was surprised, but I've been worried about this for a very, very long time. You know, if he wins, democracy is not going to end. He's not a fascist. The rhetoric is way too hot.
The rhetoric has just been over the top. When the message goes out constantly that the election of Donald Trump would be a threat to democracy and that the republic would end, I mean, it heats up the environment.
The challenge that we have is the rhetoric that has continued to rise in this country.
Much of the rhetoric from the left has escalated to this moment. Joe Biden is responsible for the shooting.
Georgia Republican Congressman Mike Collins posted, quote, Joe Biden sent the orders. And Trump campaign surrogate Nick Adams posted on social media, quote, Joe Biden's rhetoric is directly responsible. Right-wing journalist Sean Davis wrote that, quote, deranged Democrats knew Biden couldn't win, so they incited one of their toadies to try and take out his opponent.
And leave it to the maggots on the Reich to Karen their way through whatever the fuck that was in Pennsylvania with some rhetoric of their own. They've been blaming Democrats and President Biden for spending the last couple of weeks talking about, you guessed it, Project 2025. Oh, and how Hitler plans on being a dictator starting at day one, if he's elected. Yeah, it was all those discussions, how these Republican Jesus freaks wrote a 900 plus page document detailing how they plan to give America a Christian nationalist makeover. That seems to be a bridge too far for the son of an insurrectionist fanboy who up until a week ago was standing for the dude he'd ultimately not assassinate. Because that makes way more sense than explaining to everyone why the day after the shooting, Eric's dad was caught on film doing this.
And also now a day later, Donald Trump, he's back at it and in fine form. Here we go.
Just finished talking to the former president. You would think that he would be down. I mean, he's in the saddle. He's excited. And I said, is there anything that I could, you know, share with the audience? And he paused for a second and he said, can you just tell him I love him?
Yesterday, he's almost assassinated. He flew home that night, discharged himself from the hospital, then plays golf today, and then says, oh, yeah, the Republican convention. Should we delay that? No. Let's get on Trump Force One. And then he flew to Milwaukee. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it actually is. It's mind-boggling how video and pictures of the Vanity Manity playing golf the day after he wasn't assassinated don't include a maxi pad taped to his right ear. In fact, the ear that was allegedly hit by a bullet and definitely not nicked by a piece of glass from a teleprompter, because that was what was actually hit by the bullet, appeared to be just fine. No swelling, no redness, no stitches, or as CBS Evening News explained it.
The former president was treated at Butler Memorial Hospital. He did not require stitches.
When I heard the call, you're thinking worst case scenario.
Dr. David Rodinghouse says his staff coordinated with the Secret Service well in advance of the rally.
It was surreal. You know, you prepare for things like this. You don't necessarily prepare to receive a president or former president.
Oh, yeah, that can be a lot. I'm really curious. So there was no stitches for the gaping wound that Connie Don claims he suffered from a bullet that was shot from an assault rifle? How can that even be? Unless the bullet hit the teleprompter, kind of like how the New York Times and other outlets initially reported, but have since gone quiet about, because if that's true, then... What the fuck even happened in Pennsylvania? This makes the Big Lebowski's appearance at the RNC just a day after he played golf and was caught being totally fine, completely sus. Because there is obviously a not administered by a medical professional piece of gauze taped to Kefeffel's ear for everyone to see at the RNC. And you'll never guess what the Danger Yams Maggoteers did once they saw his My Tiny Pillow scotch taped to his head.
I'm wearing a bandage on my right ear and standing in solidarity with President Trump.
And we want him to know that we are going through this with him, that we honor him, that we respect him, we're behind him, we're in it for the fight, and we just want to show our solidarity to let him know, President Trump, you are not alone.
We're helping President Trump set a new fashion statement, and we're standing in solidarity with him for his wound, and we just want him to know how much we love him.
As Donald Trump wears one, we do it in solidarity with our President Trump because we love him, we support him 100%.
This is a sign of our love for him, our care, our concern, our thankfulness to God that he saved. We know that God saved him for special things for this country.
And if he needs to go through something, and he's going to fight, we want him to know that the Arizona delegation feels the same way. We'll go through it with him.
Oh, but please tell me again how this is not a cult. Tell me how this is absolutely normal for supporters of a presidential candidate to tape a piece of tissue to their ear and walk around in public like that ain't weird at all. Or like holding a raffle for an AR-15 at the front doors of the RNC convention totally wasn't weird. Although that's the gun used to shoot the teleprompter that shattered and nicked the fraud father's ear. But never mind all of that. What gets me is when Barbecue Brutus gets shot at by an AR-15 and maggots tape tissue to their ear in solidarity. But that same gun is used to murder children in schools, and they then put tiny assault rifles on their lapels? Oh, and then there are these comments from the Peanut Gallery.
This convention is happening, frankly, by the grace of God.
It is a divine intervention by God that President Trump is not dead right now.
This is divine intervention.
The bullet pierced President Trump at 6:11 p.m. Ephesians 6:11 tells us
put on the full armor of God, take your stand against the devil and his schemes.
This was providence.
God's divine providence.
A millisecond before he fired the shot.
A God-given
little tilt.
Yeah, a God-given tilt.
If you didn't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better be believing right now.
God lowered a shield of protection.
God has put an armor of protection over Donald Trump.
God is not finished with him yet.
I believe we all witnessed a miracle, literally. From, before it happened, the flag above got blown in the wind and it got tied into literally what looked like an angel.
And I would like to take a moment to say thank you to the voters of Georgia's congressional 3rd District for electing that bleach blonde, bad built butch body to Congress. This dollar store firecracker who thinks she sees angels in the American flag as a piece of glass cut through Dunce Cap Don's ear after a bullet hit a teleprompter should not be a member of our legislative branch of government. But here we are. And where that is the pregame show in Milwaukee for the end of democracy as we know it. But if you thought the facepalm moments ended with the latest in fascist fashion and divine intervention, you're in luck, because the only thing worse than the RNC's attendees were the speakers on the stage. Roll tape.
Under Trump, we prospered. We were richer. Inflation was low, and there were two genders.
And as God as my witness, he will finally give us the country we deserve.
If we don't control all three branches of our government, their government will put some of us like me and Steve Bannon in prison.
It's time to put that flag on your front porch, that red hat on your head. Because we don't cave and we don't cower and we do not capitulate.
The Democrats' disastrous record on crime, trade, and regulation has ruined the lives of countless Minnesotans.
Your family is less safe.
Biden's violent crime crisis.
Our children are dying.
War on families.
Woke indoctrination.
Trampled underfoot by the radical left.
Biden and the Democrats are doing everything they can to tear down this great country.
America cannot afford 4 more years of a Weekend at Bernie's presidency.
Our message to Gen Z is this: you're going to be the generation that actually saves this country. You want to be a rebel? You want to be a hippie? You want to stick it to the man? Show up on your college campus and try calling yourself a conservative.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard pass for me, because every speaker on stage at the RNC cried about all the culture war grievances that they always do, but not once did any of them explain just how they plan on getting the Christian-controlled country that maggot three-toed gangrene thinks she deserves. And that's because they do not want you checking out Project 2025. I've discussed Project 2025 quite a few times on this show, and I invite you to take a listen to previous shows for a refresher after this one is over, of course. But for now, let's turn our attention to the hillbilly turned venture capitalist that took a black job from Senator Tim Scott to become Vice Führer for Diaper Dawn's third coming. I'm talking about the guy who calls himself J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, and the man with 1,000 names. See, J.D. Vance wasn't always J.D. Vance. In fact, he was born James Donald Bowman, but when his parents got divorced, his last name was changed to David. So then James Donald David's mother got remarried, and her teenage son then became James Hamill. Because why the fuck not at this point? But the ever-evolving identity of the white trash formerly known as James Donald Bowman changed yet again when this phonic chameleon became the Project 2025 champion we all know and will come to hate, J.D. Vance. And all thanks to his wife of South Asian and Hindu descent, who suggested he reinvent himself as J.D. Vance, you know, for book publishing purposes. Oh, and in case you were wondering, the right wing is not at all happy about a white colonizer marrying a brown woman, and then contributing three more brownish babies to add to the diminishing whiteness of America. But nevertheless, JD, with a thousand names, took the stage at the RNC to show the maggots that he may be a man in a biracial marriage, but he's all white ruling class at heart.
I grew up in Middletown, Ohio, single moms like mine, who struggled with money and addiction, but never gave up. I left the Marines after 4 years and went to the Ohio State University. I went to Yale Law School, and then I started businesses to create jobs in the kind of places that I grew up in. But it was also a place that had been cast aside and forgotten by America's ruling class in Washington. America's ruling class wrote the checks. Joe Biden screwed up, and my community paid the price. And somehow, a real estate developer from New York City by the name of Donald J. Trump was right on all of these issues while Biden was wrong. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. We need a leader who fights for the people who built this country.
Oh yeah, we hear you, Confederate Care Bear Vance. And since you've taken a black job from Senator Tim Scott, I get the whitewash you're referring to when you say the people who built this country. Because what you really mean is you're concerned about the descendants of the white slave owners who brutally abused the people who literally built this country. And then there's that whole shtick about Dawn of the Eternal Stench being right about everything. So I got a grievance here. Yale, we got to have a conversation. I think you need to apologize to the American public for graduating Jumbo Diarrhea Vance and Pube on a Coke Thomas and then Beer Kavanaugh, because clearly defunding public education has resulted in dumbing down of college standards, and that ain't good. It's either that or the consequences of decades of giving rich assholes' offspring a degree just because their parents donated a building to your campus is paying off in the worst way possible. Like a possible VP. But when it comes to generic guy with a beard Vance pretending to be someone else, this is the career path he chose. This is the grift he does on purpose. Besides, being besties with a gay venture capitalist named Peter Thiel, all whatever his name is has ever done, is write a book called Hillbilly Elegy. A rather scathing and self-blaming account of what it's like to grow up as white trash with drug addicts for family members. In the book, Vance said that the white man's problem is his own and the poor pasty Kevins just have to quit yapping and get a job. But today's version of Vance blames President Biden for everything that has happened to his white people, at least for the last 39 years. And we're supposed to act like the guy just named Vice Führer for the Commander-in-Chief's next reign is totally awesome, even though he obviously can't do basic math and doesn't know how time works. But hey, I digress. The reason Jim Bob Dumbass Vance is a younger version of the Nepo Baby Fascist on top of the maggot ticket, that's what makes it so horrible, no good, terrible, and very bad. Because number one, Vance is 39 years old, and the lumbering lardass is about to be one quarter pounder away from making a man who wants to ban childless women from voting become president. And that really can't be the reality that we live in. But secondly, the perfectly named Kevin, who runs the Heritage Foundation, said this after he heard that J.D. Vance took a black job.
We've confirmed news that Senator Vance is the vice presidential running mate. You will see a broad smile on my face because you may know that we're good friends. I will offer two comments about that. The first is the entire list of names considered are great men and women, truly, truly, all of them friends of Heritage. There, among them, though, was someone that privately we were really rooting for, and he's just been named the running mate. Why were we rooting for him? Not even because of politics and policy, but because of who he is.
And that, my friends, is all you need to know about what happened in Milwaukee this week. Although it is worth noting that on the first day of the RNC, that app dudes use to hook up with other dudes called Grindr went down in the Milwaukee area because of too many totally not gay RNC attendees looking for some company, you know, after the show. But please, remind me how marriage is just between a man and a woman. I just can't remember how this whole thing is supposed to work without a closeted gay Republican mansplaining heterosexuality to me. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.